Gracious Fundamentalist Podcast, the podcast from a Christian fundamentals, but gracious, loving, and kind perspective. We will be sticking to the fundamentals of the faith of Christianity from a loving, kind viewpoint towards all of those who are within the actual body of Christ, all those who have repented and believed, but not only that, loving towards those who are unbelievers, that they too may come to the faith, that they may realize that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and that they need to repent and believe on Christ Jesus, the Lord, the only one who can save them, the only one who has saved them, who is their Savior, who has died, in fact, for all mankind, so that whomsoever shall believeth in him will have eternal life. Join us as we explore theological and philosophical topics using the Word of God and biblical means and worldview. Unless otherwise stated, all scripture references and quotes will be coming from the King James Version of the Bible. Before I begin to defend the compatibility and synthesis between Christianity and libertarian political economical theory, I need to begin with a refresher of two very important biblical truths. That is, where we are now in God's big picture and where our ancestors had been. The dispensation of law is now over. The dispensation of law lasted 1,500 years, beginning with the Exodus and ending with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The delivery of the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, found in Exodus 19-23, outlined the standard of perfection that God required from his people and included the instructions about temple worship and sacrifices. This was the age of priests, prophets, and kings, both good and evil. The people of Yahweh, Jehovah, repeatedly broke his commands and wandered off after other gods. It is important to note that strict following of commandments was never as important to God as mercy and faithfulness. Hosea 6:6. The law was given to show the people that they needed to depend on God and trust him to save them, rather than trusting themselves, their own goodness, or other gods for salvation. He has never expected perfection. If he did, he would not have provided the sacrificial system as a way for men to say, "Yes, I have sinned. Here is a symbol of my need for forgiveness and atonement." The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. They are a symbol, looking forward to the one whose blood could take away sin. Hebrews 9:11 through 14 and Hebrews 10:3-10. However, we are no longer in that dispensation. We are now in the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace started at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and continues today. It is the new covenant in Christ's blood, Luke 22:20. This is also called the Age of Grace or the Church Age, and scholars believe that the entire dispensation, more than 2,000 years, occurs between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9:24. Atonement was provided on the cross once for all for any who would believe. Abraham's children are all those who have faith, including Gentiles or non-Jews, Hebrews 10:10, 14, Romans 5:1, Romans 3:29-30, Galatians 3:7-29. During this dispensation, we also have a comforter with us, the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells believers, John 14:16-26. Dispensationalists believe that the church age will end with the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, Revelation 3:10, and then the tribulation, 7 years when those who dwell on the earth will experience God's judgment, will begin, Daniel 12:1-4, Matthew 24:21-27. The exact timing of the rapture is a subject of great debate, but dispensationalists believe it will happen at the beginning of the 7 years. We do know that some people will be saved during the tribulation, Revelation 7:14-17, that it will end with the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ will return and defeat Satan and any who would follow him into battle, Revelation 19:11-23. The dispensation of the Millennium Kingdom is the seventh and final dispensation. The dispensation of the Millennial Kingdom is described in Revelation and includes a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, Revelation 20, 1-10. This means we are not yet in the future theocracy that will come when Jesus Christ returns to personally rule and reign with the saints and saved Israel. We are in the in-between time. This is the church age, in which our role in the world is the Great Commission of spreading the gospel and soul winning, or taking our part in guiding people to repent and believe on Christ Jesus the Lord. We are not yet, as some Christians mistake this time, for to take dominion over the earth in a political way. We are to be pilgrims in the world, and we are nowhere called to coerce or force the world to become Christian, or restore Christendom as some would preach. This does not mean we do not preach hard against the evils of the world, as it becomes worse and worse throughout these perilous days. However, we do not preach with the Bible in one hand, and shooting at those whom we preach to saying, convert, in the other. We cannot and should not be Constantinian, but Christ-like. Not once did Christ initiate coercion or harm or aggression or force on anyone that refused to worship him, as they were told to by God himself. He is God, after all. He is turning over tables, for example, and making a whip was in the self-defense of his own temple, not initiating force against someone else or their property. This does not mean that Christians can never get involved in political matters. However, when they do, they should be Christ-like and use that position as a servant, as our King came to serve, and to save those whom were lost, not to put a weapon at their back and plunder from them in the guise of being a civil servant, which has within its very name the name of servant, as well as the word civil, which comes from civilized, meaning not uncivil, which causing harm to others in the name of a Lord that would never do so is to go against. You are a Christian politician if you're a civil servant and Christian, and being Christ-like should show in how the lost world sees even those in places of the political machine. Remember, we are Christians and not Constantinians, whose so-called conversion is spurious at best. So what is Christian libertarianism? Christian libertarianism is a synthesis of Christian beliefs with libertarian political philosophy, with a focus on beliefs about free will, human nature, and God-given inalienable rights. As with some other forms of libertarianism, Christian libertarianism holds that what is prohibited by law should be limited to various forms of assault, theft, and fraud. Other actions that are forbidden by Christianity can only be disciplined by the church, or in the case of children and teens, one's parents or guardians. Likewise, beliefs such as love your neighbor as yourself are not imposed on others so long as the non-aggression principle, which Christian libertarians believe to be foundational, has not been violated. Christian libertarianism is not the same as being a libertine or a social liberal. Christian libertarian philosophy is about the rightful use of coercion and threats of use of coercion in society. It is not what you think the community you are in should do outside of coercion. A Christian libertarian does not require a personal live-and-let-live attitude when it comes to appropriate lifestyles or all beliefs being equal. It is simply the attitude and doctrine that you do not get to use coercion or threats of coercion to get people to live a godly life. It says nothing about whether you agree morally with things that are legal, only that you refuse to use coercion or threats thereof to change the behavior you disagree with. For example, you can push for voluntary communities where degeneracy is not allowed in the rules given to those that wish to live in that given area. However, you cannot use coercion or threats of coercion to stop someone from making or joining their own community. That is completely against biblical morality, provided they are not using coercion or threatening to use coercion against Christians living according to God's way of life. If you give the state the ability to use coercion against other groups, do not be surprised when the prince of the power of the air uses said state's power back against you. We are in a spiritual war and not a natural war against flesh and blood. A Christian libertarian society allows as much private discrimination based on God's ways as we want to use for separating from the world. However, one cannot use force or threaten to use force and force others to be part of the body of Christ, or to live in a way that goes against the world. Neither does it stop Christian owners of, say, media companies from banning immoral content privately. It only refers to the actions that break the non-initiation of coercion principle, or more broadly, statism versus voluntarism. States are not the weapon of our warfare against the evil one. Prayer is our weapon, not guns and tanks. This does not mean one is against self-defense. Self-defense is the one area where coercion is allowed. Retaliating through coercion is the defense of people and property from the worst of evils. I hope this helps you understand why I am a Christian libertarian and gives edifying insight into some of the various political views within Orthodox fundamental Christianity. May the peace of Christ go with you as you go through this day and always. Amen.